grace and peace to you on this day, on this Thursday podcast. We are glad that you are here. I say we because I'm glad. We are glad. God is glad. The Holy Spirit's glad. Jesus is glad. The community is glad that we can join in the Word of God. It's a powerful thing for us to do. And so if you are thirsty, come. If you want life-giving water, come and take it. It's free. That's in the book of Revelations 22:17. And in 1 Corinthians 12:13, each of us is now a part of his resurrection body, refreshed and sustained at one fountain, his spirit, where we all come to drink. As we are drinking up the spirit of Jesus, his resurrection body. He has overcome it. He has done it. And we're all invited. Come and drink. Come and take it. His spirit, free. Free to give you life. Well, at the end of 1 John, I'm going to make this short, sweet, and concise on this Thursday. We're on the epilogue of 1 John. Again, it was only 5 chapters. We've gone through it each week for 5 weeks, and we're going to bring it to a close here. But important in 5:13, it says this, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life." So the writer wants you to know and believe in the Son of God so that you may know that you have that life. And that you are then free to go to work in this life to bring about more life, more eternal life. And of course, this writer goes on to talk about the boldness that we have in him. And that if we ask anything, that God hears us, that God is with us. And then we know that those who are born of God, again, do not sin, but those who are born of God, God is with them. And he says the evil one does not touch them. We're challenged by that because a lot of evil touches good people's lives. I think that's one of the biggest challenges. Even in this last year, I've said so many times, the world is picking on our very best people. The people we love so deeply being afflicted and challenged in all kinds of just difficult ways. And so I'm going to take issue with 1 John there. But ultimately, I know that God is in that place. That God is in that low place. That God is in that valley of challenge. And that God will be there as people emerge on the other side too. And so at the very end of 1 John, he gives this warning. He doesn't sign off saying, "Peace and hope be with you. I love you. See you next time." None of that. In verse 21, it ends abruptly. "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." Keep yourselves from idols. Well, we know what those idols are, don't we? Because we all got them. And an idol here could refer to false gods or anything really that we value above God. And if you asked people on a normal day, they'd say, "Well, there's nothing greater than God. You know, how great is our God? How great is our God? God is the greatest. God is above all and in all and through all." But ultimately, as we live our lives, God gets moved to the second chair, third chair, fourth chair. Maybe you've heard me say before, but it's that bumper sticker that says, "God is my co-pilot," to which you'd say, What are you talking about? God's the co-pilot? No, thank you. I want God to be the pilot. God is the one flying this soul, this spirit, this life of you. And we want God to lead that charge with us. And we want to then be the co-pilot and participate. But God is the one leading and directing. And so we got to put off these idols or these false gods or these things that we value above God. And this evil that 1 John is referred to over and over and over again, the evil one is translated in the same way that we would translate the Lord's Prayer as "deliver us from evil" or "deliver us from the evil one." And I often think there's power in that, when we move from saying deliver us from generic evils, that just, you know, a broad brushstroke of evil, and we say deliver us from the evil one, we actually put a name to it, and we make it personal. And there's some power over that, and there's some release over that. There's a naming and claiming, and then a step through. And so we're thankful that this writer does this for us. And also, this last section in this epilogue, it reminds us that the Son of God has come into the world. And although we should not take the power of sin and evil lightly, the writer's reminding us that ultimately, they have no power over us. God is greater than all sin and evil. God is greater than all sin and evil. Nothing supersedes God. Nothing's going to take God out. God will ultimately be above it all. And that is why the resurrection church matters so much. This is why the declaration, He is risen. He is risen. We proclaim this to the ends of the earth. He is risen. The tomb is empty. Love and life win. This is our belief. This is our faith. And with the tomb being empty, if He's been raised, we are raised. So we move from saying just risen or He is risen to we are risen. We are alive. There's that song. He is alive. We are alive. We are alive. But we know we're challenged at times because we can get a dehydrated heart. Amen. We have a physical thirst, but sometimes our heart gets dehydrated and we stop looking and paying attention to how God would lead us and how God's love would shape us and how God's love would actually demand by asking of us that we too would lay down our life like Jesus lays down His life. So when you got a dry mouth or a thick tongue or an achy head or weak knees because you're dehydrated, how much more can your soul be dehydrated by the evil one, by the power of the world, by a world that seeks to diminish, distract, and destroy? It can happen to us. And so we would do well to pay attention to stay thirsty in Jesus and to drink often from His well of life. And as Jesus instructs His disciples post His resurrection, when He shows them His hands and His side and he wants to send them out into the world to live and tell the story, they're living in that already, not yet. Because they just watched the power of evil destroy Him on the cross. And now they see Him alive. They know the power of God, the resurrection power of God. But here they are standing in the stark contrast between them both. One well is toxic, the toxic of the world around violence. One well is sweet water, the sweet water of life that they need. But how can they rely on that sweet water that hydrates their soul when they're at the same time living in a world that has toxic waters all around and at times not even know what the toxic water is? We get swallowed up by it. And so Jesus shows His hands and His side. And this writer knows this Jesus, has come to draw close to this Jesus, has dipped into the well of this Jesus, and wants to say that is where our faith needs to be. That is where our very life needs to be. And so we are to love with truth and action. We are to go out and find ways to bring this water to the rest of the world. An image that so often comes to mind when I think about being thirsty for water, having to work for water versus, you know, a lot of us just go over, turn the tap on, the water comes right out. It's so easy. But when you travel through international work and ministry, you see little children carrying buckets or 5-gallon pails on top of their heads, walking for miles to get water from one community well often even some brackish water, and then bringing it back up the mountainside, back to their village to be used for the cooking or the cleaning or the hydration that they need. So much work. So much work. And church, I'd like to say it takes work. It takes work to bring about love and life the way God intends for into the world. It's not going to happen by itself. There's no quick, rapid faucet to turn on. There's no drinking fountain along the roadway. We have to walk for it. And we have to give it throughout our travels. It's so, so important. So how often do we need a drink in our way of being thirsty for Jesus? And are we stopping often enough to be hydrated again by his word of life and love? You know, these faucets that we see in our sinks, in our homes, places of business, these faucets in the Bible are God pouring out his love into our life. God's faucet wants to remain on, never turned off. A faithful church, a faithful person, a way where God is pouring out God's love into you and into others. I have a leaky faucet out at my house in the back of our house where our garden hose hooks up to, and it just drips, 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 and no matter how much I've tried to fix it, I can't get it fixed. I'm going to have to take it apart and put a new one in there. But I think about how annoyed I am by wasting that little bit of water, and at the same time, I at least want God's word, God's life, God's love to continue to drip, 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 drip in my life. I need it. We need it. And so I'm thankful that you have been here with me on this journey through 1 John, and I want to send you out with a challenge for the water faucet of God, the water faucet of life and love, the one who comes and draws close and shows us what love really is to look like. Remember, God is love and God can do nothing else, but a challenge for you to drink deeply. I would love if you take the time, if you've listened to these podcasts, to spend some time writing a letter to God that could be delivered this very day. And what would you say in that letter? If you could write a letter to God that could be delivered right now, what would you say in that letter? And I want you to take some time to write that letter of thanks, of praise, of petition, of whatever you'd like to say in such a special note. And I want you to offer it to God. And then I want you to keep that letter in a safe and special place, and I want you to revisit it later, especially on the hard and difficult days, so that you can say along with the psalmist from Psalm 27:13, that you are still confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Yes, yes, you will. You will. Because those right there are the waters of life. God is at work. And for that, we give thanks and praise. So stay thirsty, my friends, and join in again for the next podcast to come. Be well.